First things first this morning, one of us, unknown to most of you, in our chapel at Our Lady of Lourdes in Montgomery, died this past week. Let us pray for Mike Telker's soul. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. May the souls of all the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. I bring to your attention that this week, this Wednesday, is the feast of the solemnity of our Most Holy Father Benedict, and of course for us it is a very special occasion. For those of you who cannot come to Mass on that day, I certainly ask for your very special prayers for us, that we, monks and nuns alike, will be able to do God's work as God wants it done. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, my presentation to you is going to be a little different. And the reason why it is different is because the death of this gentleman, Mike Telker, in Panama City, Florida, has brought about the necessity of talking about something that has needed to be talked about for a long, long time, but first, for one reason or another, it has been put off and put off and put off. But during this past week, because of the death of this good gentleman, we have had some very harrowing moments, both on our side and on the side of the family. And so I think it is absolutely essential that some ideas or some thoughts or some principles be brought to our attention so that this can be avoided in the future. There are two points, and I have to mention point number one, because point number two depends on point number one. Point number one is this. This church, and for that matter, our chapels elsewhere, but we speak primarily of this church. This church is not a parish church. And as a consequence, and I have to speak in the first person singular, whether I like it or not, I have to speak in the first person and say that I am not a pastor. Really, no priest, no matter where located today, if he wants to keep things straight, no traditional priest today is a pastor. There is no such thing as a parish that is not, if the group is not associated with the diocese. There's no such thing as a parish. The word is used to the confusion of a lot of people. So therefore, I bring this to your attention. This is not a parish, and I am not a pastor. Therefore, I bring out the fact that this particular group in here, in this church, in this place, in this location, is a Benedictine monastery. And a Benedictine monastery needs a church in which to function. And that's why this church is here. This is the only reason why it is here. The people, and please let me finish this statement before you come to any unwarranted conclusions. The people are not asked or invited or solicited to come to this church. However, the people that want to come to this church, because we have a regularly scheduled Mass at 6 o'clock every day, and on Sunday we have regularly scheduled Masses for the monks at 6 o'clock and at 10 o'clock. And even though the people may not be invited to attend these Masses, the people are totally, completely, and absolutely welcome. Is that clear? Is there any doubt in anybody's mind what I have just said? But because of the craziness that exists today, this has to be this way. And let me tell you a secret, which when I get through with it, it won't be a secret anymore. That in every traditionalist chapel, now remember, notice that I use the word traditionalist as opposed to traditional Roman Catholic, but in every known traditionalist chapel where the idea of a parish is nourished, and the people more or less feel that it is theirs. And as a consequence, the priest who comes to their church, who travels here, there, and everywhere on Sunday, the priest is sometimes, and very oftentimes, looked upon as a hired hand, and the people are in charge. That's all right. I have no problem with that directly. But I do have a problem, because the experience is this. Here it comes. Every place the priest fails to be in charge, completely in charge, who collects the money, who deposits the money, first and foremost, that is ever so important. Who pays the rent, who pays the light bill, who makes sure that the roof is in repair and that there's air conditioning in the summertime and heat in the wintertime, etc., etc., etc. Every place where this is not in the hands of the priest, atomic bombs do not create as much damage. And the places usually split and subdivide and resplit and subdivide again. Therefore, one of the places, and I'll explain this too, where these splits and difficulties arise, they're born at the coffee and donut sessions after the Sunday Masses. When the people get together to have coffee and donuts. And you get two or three people here eating coffee and drinking donuts, the other way around, drinking coffee and eating donuts. And two or three people over here doing the same thing, and two or three people over there doing the same thing, because not many more than 8 or 10, 15, 20 people. It's not the whole wide world. It's only about 20 people. And right away, this one has this idea and that one has the other idea. And trouble. And so it has to be said that in this place, where the other places do not make any difference, in this church, since I am the one who has to take care of the money and the deposit, of course I don't do it, Father Sebastian does, I think I can trust him. And therefore, Father Sebastian takes care of all of that. And as far as the roof goes and everything else, I think I can trust Father Francis. And so on. But for the rest, I, as far as anybody is concerned, am God in this house. And let there be no mistake about it. Now you think I'm being funny. This is serious. Very, very, very serious. And it causes serious trouble wherever. So I bring these things to your attention before I go to point two. Point two has to do with dying. Once upon a time, when things were normal, there was never any problem when someone died. That person, that family, automatically belonged to St. James Parish. And the pastor of St. James Parish would automatically, without any question, without consulting anybody on this earth, the pastor of St. James Parish immediately took over. And all of the arrangements were made by way of the pastor of St. James Parish. And if there was a problem at St. James Parish, they could go down the street two blocks and they could go to St. Henry's Parish and have the funeral there. And it could go on and on and on and on. Today, that's no longer the case. These churches are no longer available to those who do not go there and believe as they are required to believe. And the problem came up this past week by way of this gentleman that died, who's going to bury him. He lives in Panama City, Florida. The family ordinarily went to our chapel in Montgomery. And the difficulties came up because there was no church in Panama City. There were no people in Panama City. And arrangements would have to be made from here, a distance, to have the mass in the funeral home. The wife, let me tell you, this is quick. The husband and wife were sitting on the couch together that night, chit-chatting with each other, sitting on the couch together. And everything seemed all right. And wife and husband were holding hands. And all of a sudden, it was over. The wife holding the hand of her dead husband. That's as fast as it can happen. Now there was question about these good people, because today, and here it is particularly dominant, There was some question, because in the heart and the mind of this gentleman and his wife, he was trying to operate from within the so-called structure called the Catholic Church. And so there was a type of affiliation with both sides. Comes family. Some children are traditional. Other children go to the Cathedral Church, Nova Soda, downtown. Other children don't go to church at all. The mother and father don't go to church at all. Other children are pagan. And the bereaved person is torn all to pieces, looking for help from somebody. We got the terrific message from one of the children that maybe it would be nice, for the sake of the mother, if you would come down, maybe you can say the rosary. Travel to Panama City, a 9, 10, 11 hour drive to say the rosary. And then turn around and come back, because the next day was Saturday. And in other cases, my own sister-in-law died. It was with difficulty that I was permitted by the pastor of the place to say the rosary. But after I got in to say the rosary, I was inside the door. And I had a couple of things to say, which I had no problem saying. You see, all of us here do not have, or most of us here, do not have a clear-cut definition of which church to belong to. We know ourselves, don't we, that in this church there have been two or three or four cases of people who come here by way of preference because they don't like what's going on elsewhere. So they prefer to come here. However, when the time comes, we are left in a complete quandary. Should we go there, or should we mind our own business? In one case in Birmingham, a very Catholic family came to our church, Mr. and Mrs. Bill Natter. She died. Before she died, the husband, called me. It was a Sunday morning. I got in the car and I traveled to Birmingham, went to the hospital. I brought the holy oils and everything, and the local priest was already there, just finishing up the last sacraments. So what do I do with myself? Very graciously and as politely as possible, say, give a blessing, turn right around, and quietly come back home. I ask you, and I think this is urgent, that everybody here, first of all, has to make up his mind, her mind, why they are coming to this church. It's not because we prefer the way it is done here over the way it is done there. It has to be, number one, because of a profound belief. First, please, I'm not fussing this morning. I'm just weary, because we've had a terrible week. And after all, God does provide, because if we had traveled to Panama City, Florida, we would have been in serious trouble here because of a very bad problem with our sewer system. And it would have been real, real bad. But God provides all the time. We found a priest that was closer who was willing to go and say Mass for this good man, which he did. So we didn't have to go. But my urgent suggestion to you is this. Make up your minds completely why you come here. But we're not demanding this. And in the process of making up your minds why you come here, put it in writing. In big, clear writing, your funeral instructions. Don't be afraid to face up to the fact that there's going to be a funeral for each and every person in this room, right here, right now, in God's time. My instructions are done. I need to update them, but they're done. And each of you needs to have clear instructions. I want to be buried from this church. I want to be buried from that church. I want Father this to take care of me. I want Father that to take care of me. And all my children, uncles and aunts and cousins and neighbors and friends and across the street, whatever, to the contrary, notwithstanding, I will be buried from that church. And that is that. And sign it. Have it witnessed, have it notarized if necessary. You keep a copy. And tell your children or whoever is responsible, see this piece of paper? The minute I close my eyes, you read it. And there's a copy of this piece of paper wherever it is intended to be. And they are planning to take over. And the priest will come here from there. Don't call in Father whoever from St. James or St. Henry or St. Cathedral's parish. This has all been taken care of. This is what I want. And this is the way I want to have it done. And for the local people, it's even more urgent because we, of course, as you know, are off-brand now. And the parish in town feels that everybody locally belongs to them. When they die, they take over. And so we could go in there, as they do in some places, we could go in there and bring a pair of brass knucks and the two priests slug it out at the coffin. We could do that. But that's not the way to be a Catholic, is it? And so we back off, back away, and leave it be. Because after all, it is the soul that counts, not the body. And so we run over here, like we did ourselves this past, we found out on the day after the 4th of July, or whenever, and the next morning, first thing, we said two masses here for the repose of the soul of this gentleman. And we said Mass again yesterday, and we will say Mass again Tuesday. This is what we do. Nobody knows about this but you. If the family doesn't care, that's not our problem. If the children are rebellious about it, that's not our problem. But make sure that you get your affairs straight while you still have time to do it. Just remember, husband and wife sat next to each other, sat down together, and all was well. And they were chit-chatting with each other. And husband and wife was holding husband and wife's hand. When all of a sudden, without warning, he said, I'm so tired. And that was the end of it. In a way, it was a blessing because he died so quickly. But that's beside the point. The point is, get your affairs in order. That goes for these people up here. If you want to come here for Mass, fine. You are totally welcome. But get your funeral arrangements in order on paper. Do not tell it to little Tommy Joe, who will be overwhelmed by this other five or six sisters or brothers and uncles and aunts and cousins and everybody else, and will not be able to say anything. Well, the mother told me she wanted it this way. Tough. This is the way it's going to be. So today I had to bring that up. I didn't like to, but it's something that I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad it's over. Because it is, a lot of people are missing, and I'm sorry, but you can spread the word around. Get your affairs in order. And get the paper, we can file, if you want a copy of the letter, send us a copy of the letter, and we'll put it in our files so that when we go to such and such a place and we expect trouble, we simply pull out the piece of paper and say, what do you want us to do? This or that? And if they say, get out, well, we'll get out if we have to. But it won't be easy for them. We live in terrible times. And every day it gets worse. And now it's a matter of a 9 or 10 or 12 hour drive to the next place where I can have a funeral. But in my day, it was a matter of going down the street about three blocks, and in some places across the street. But that's no longer the case. And it's not going to ever be the case again. And don't let anybody tell you that it will be that way. That we're making progress? No. No, we're not. As I look back in the 20 years that I have been connected intimately with the traditional movement of the Roman Catholic Church, as I look back, I see the way it was when I started, and I see the way it is now. And it's infinitely worse now than it was when I started. It can be very discouraging, it can be very depressing, but I set my jaw, and this is the way it will be. And there's only one way that this will stop as far as I'm concerned, and that's a bullet in my head. That's the way it is. And for anybody to say, we're making progress, look, be positive, look what we're doing. When you get right down to it, my beloved people, I've said this in so many places, and they don't like to hear it. We're nothing but guppies in a quart jar of water. And we have that much power as a guppy in a quart jar. And for those places that think they have power, I don't even have words to describe it. Pandemonium, eventually. So if you come here to this place for Mass on Sunday, come here for the right reasons, and when you walk out of this church, I want you, we want you, we are here for you. We want you to leave with peace in your heart, with joy in your heart, with fulfillment in your heart. You see, I have to say this, I know it's getting into overtime. The reason why this place is here, I don't know what, I guess I have to speak in the first person singular again. I don't know why I am here, but I do know that I was putting one foot in front of the other, and so it led me to where I'm standing right now. But my primary, our primary now, and only reason, outside of the Mass, of course, is to continue the Benedictine tradition as has been handed down for the past 1,500 years. And my own confreres, who are very critical of everything I say, you can be sure of this, and if I get past their hammer mill, I'm in good enough shape. But the way things stand today worldwide, this is the only location on Earth that is trying to maintain the Benedictine spirit. And if I go to my grave, because I'm old now, and that's the reason why it's possible, it takes an old man who lived when it was. And if I go to my grave before this takes place, to be able to anchor this tradition, it will go to the grave with me forever. There is another place a young man is, but he is not free. The only other place that I am very much interested in is, and all of us know our beloved Bishop McKenna. He's a Dominican. And right now he's under my hammer mill. And that is that he gets off of his whatever and work to preserve the Dominican spirit. These are the only two religious orders left that are in any way, regardless of how thin the connection, any way connected with the past. And if these two orders go down, it's over. And then we do it the new way, the way that we know or recall or remember. Fortunately, again, this hammer mill behind me, let me tell you, they are a hammer mill. Thank God for that. And whoever has to deal with them in days to come, they had better come here with brass plate armor, because they won't get any place with them. They are a stubborn lot, how well I know. And for that, I'm grateful. And they're going to continue to be stubborn, and you must pray that they remain stubborn and hard to deal with, because it is the house of God that they are maintaining. Is that clear?